Say, it's time for...
All sweet.
Did you hear what the lady said?
I said, all sweet. All sweet is the margarine with a delicate natural flavor.
Yes, friends, that's what all the ladies are saying. All sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor. With all sweet margarine invites you to meet the meat. It's peaceful and quiet along Elm Street in City Center as Mortimer Meek walks toward his home. Halfway down the block, he nears the little white house with the green shutters and pauses to pass the time of day with Dr. Furnish, making Meek's room head at school.
Well, yes, how do you do, Dr. Furnish? Remember me? I'm the father of one of your pupils, Peggy Meek.
Oh, yes. How are you today, Peggy?
It's fine. Oh.
Peggy, you know you hardly look like a type.
Yes, oh, no, no. You misunderstand. I'm Peggy's father, Dr. Furnish.
Oh, yes, so you are. Strange coincidence that your name should be Furnish, too.
No, but it isn't. No, I'm Meek.
Oh, well, chin up, old man. The Meek shall inherit and so forth, you know.
Yeah, oh, fiddle-faddle.
Bless you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Let me see now. Where was I going? Oh, dear.
You weren't going to my house, Dr. Furnish, by any chance.
Oh, no, I never take that kind of chance. I'm conservative, you know. Tell me, sir, do you know anyone in this neighborhood by the name of Meek?
No.
It's Meek.
Oh, yes. I'm Meek, and I live just down the street.
Oh, of course. Yes. Of course you do, and I just came from your house. Congratulations, sir. You are a father.
Yeah, well, I should hope so. Peggy's quite a young lady.
It's your son I'm referring to. Charming lad.
Oh, my son. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
My son? My gracious, Dr. Furnish, I have no son.
Ah, but you do have. I delivered him myself.
To your house.
Yes. Our class in applied child psychology, you know, gives the students an opportunity to study child behavior firsthand, gives you a son secondhand.
Oh.
Very droll. I must remember to remember who said that.
Oh, well, excuse me, Dr. Kermit, but do I understand correctly that Peggy is taking care of a little boy as part of her classwork in child psychology?
You do, correctly. My friend, you have been blessed with a little bundle from heaven. They like it quiet up there.
Between now and next Saturday, when you meet the Meeks again, that favorite American holiday, Thanksgiving, will have come and gone. And most of us will have stuffed ourselves with chicken or turkey or duck and six kinds of pie. So we're thinking that right now would be a mighty fine time to wish you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving. Now, maybe you're an old turkey buyer from way back and know the marks of quality to look for in buying a grand gobbler. Well, if not, here's how to buy a bird that you'll do yourself proud. Look for a clean, waxy skin with few pin feathers, well-fleshed breast, legs, thighs, and back, a short body, and broad breast. To do full justice to your prize, use all sweet margarine in its preparation. After all, Mr. Turkey is stuffed, trussed, and ready for the oven. Saturate a cloth in melted all sweet and cover him with it. You can baste right through the cloth, and the savory goodness of all sweet goes into the fowl. When the turkey is done and you open the oven, you'll be as proud as punch of your golden brown picture book bird. And, of course, you want to use delicate, natural-flavored all-sweet for the surrounding vegetables, as well as for your Thanksgiving hot breads and party cakes. Yes, ma'am, on holidays and every day, all-sweet adds a lot to the enjoyment of good eating. Remember, all-sweet, the margarine with the delicate, natural flavor.
Mortimer, dear, you look dazed. What happened?
I met Mr. Meek. Dr. Furnish, Agatha. You see what he does to me?
I understand, dear. Dr. Furnish is a little confusing at times. When he left here, he shook my hand, walked into the hall closet, and closed the door after him.
Oh? Well, what happened?
He came out, handed me a dime, and said he'd enjoyed the tunnel of love very much.
Yes. Yeah, well, the next time he comes over, remind me to drop him from the attic window and charge him a quarter for taking a parachute jump.
So, Agatha, dear, what about this son? I mean, the child he brought over here.
I think you'd better sit down while I tell you, dear.
Yes.
That's right, and loosen your tie and collar.
Very well, dear. You sound as though I'm in for some kind of a shock.
No.
My gracious. Thank you for making me sit down. Agatha, what was that?
That, Mortimer, was Peggy's problem child, Melvin.
Melvin?
Yes, dear, Melvin. M for maniac, E for earthquake, L for lunatic, D for vandal, I for Indian, wild, and N for Nome, Alaska, which is where I'd like to be right now.
Now, Peggy, dear, suppose you tell me all about Melvin. And stop looking toward the living room door. Your mother's holding him down for the moment.
It would take a straitjacket to hold that child down, Daddy. Oh, my gracious. Why did Dr. Furness have to wake him off on me?
Yeah, well, now, suppose you begin at the beginning. Isn't this course in child behavior something new at school?
Yes, Daddy, it started this year. You see, the theory of the course is that it prepares us for future responsibilities. By taking actual care of small children, we're supposed to learn the practical aspects of being a parent.
Yes. From the sound of Melvin's behavior, Peggy, you either learn to be a parent or a wild animal trainer.
Oh.
Something tells me that taking care of Melvin is a job cut out for Frank Buck. Now, Melvin, please stop pounding on the table. Now, come and sit down here with me, and we'll have a man-to-man talk.
Okay. Where's the other man?
Tell me, Melvin, how old are you?
7. Want to make something out of it?
Oh, now, Melvin, now stop being so belligerent. I'm your friend.
That's what you think. Where's that dog?
Oh, you mean our little dog, Trouble?
He's the one that looks like a hot water bottle with ears. I don't like him.
Well, why not, Melvin? He's a friendly little fellow. He'd never bite you.
I know he wouldn't. I bit him first.
But, Melvin, you shouldn't do that.
Why not? I like to bite dogs. But I like to bite people better.
Yeah. Melvin, suppose we drop the subject and go out into the yard, There's some peaky things for you to break out there.
I don't want to break anything I'm allowed to break. Hey, what's that on the couch there?
Oh, that's my brother-in-law. We call him Uncle Louie.
Uncle Louie, huh? He looks like a big whale.
Melvin, don't talk so loud. You wake him up.
That's a swell idea. Hey, Becco!
Huh? What's up?
You are, Becco.
Oh, Louie, I'm so sorry we woke you up.
That's okay, Morty. That's okay. I'm glad you did. I was just dreaming I was having dinner in a swell restaurant with a classy tomato.
Then why are you glad we woke you up?
The waiter was just bringing me the check. Hey, who is this kid, Morty?
Oh, this is Melvin, Louie.
Hiya, Melvin.
Hiya, sloppy.
Louie, please. Melvin is our guest. You see, Peggy is studying him. He's her problem in child psychology.
Yeah, well, I'm sure glad he ain't my problem. Well, I guess I'll go to the kitchen and get me something to eat. I ain't had a bite since lunch.
What did you just say?
I said I ain't had a bite since lunch.
That's what I thought you said.
Oh, my leg!
Melvin, let go of
it.
Melvin, this is Peggy's child project. Now, try and... Louis, try and humor the little B-R-A-D.
Yeah, well, I'd like to K-I-L-L the little D-U-M.
Oh, yeah? N-U-T-S-H-Y-O-U both. Now, look, Melvin, this has gone far enough. Father's upstairs with a cold compress on his head. Uncle Louie's got a bandage on his leg. And Mother's sick to be tied.
Good, let's tie her. Got any rope?
Don't tempt me. Now sit still until I read another paragraph in the child behavior book.
Okay, I need a short rest anyway. But I'm not doing it because you asked me to, understand?
With problem children, one should use the indirect approach. Never order the child to do something. Win his confidence by suggesting games, play, and so forth.
Melvin, wouldn't you like to play a game?
Okay.
I know it's slogan.
Lots of action. Good. What is the game?
You have to guess the title of the book.
Guess the title of the book? Well, that sounds like a very intellectual game.
No, it's an action game. See this ashtray?
Yes.
Good heavens! I thought
and said we were going to play a game about book titles.
Yeah. That was Born with the Window.
Oh, you little monster. Win his confidence. Now then, don't you know any other games?
Sure, I know a slow one about guessing movie titles.
Uh-huh. What's this one going to break?
You start with light bulbs, see?
Now then, stop that.
Okay, but you said you'd play.
Oh, I will. What movie title was that supposed to represent?
Dark Passage.
Look, couldn't you play with a little less noise? I'm trying to get it here.
Oh, I see.
Hiya, Meek. How B-A-G do you feel?
Oh, Daddy, I don't know what to do. I've tried everything the book says, and look.
Yes, I see. Well, dear, you might try an old-fashioned remedy.
Oh?
Yes, I believe it has something to do with the back of a hairbrush applied to the back of the lap.
You lay off me. I'm a problem child. I'm not supposed to be punished. If you touch me, Dr. Firmus will flunk you.
He's right, Father. The new methods disapprove of physical violence. We have to win him over.
Yes, well, I think if we warn him, we'll win him. Peggy, run upstairs and borrow your mother's hairbrush.
If you do, I'll tell Dr. Firmus. And he'll tell my father. And my father will tell the police.
Oh, to think that child has a father.
Daddy, do something. Anything.
Shut him up. Yeah, all right. Melvin, now, please stop crying, Melvin. If you stop crying, I'll do anything for you.
Anything?
Anything.
Okay, stand on your head.
Stand on my head. Yeah, what? Stand on my head? Why should I stand on my head?
So I can get the nickels when they drop out.
Sure, well, I think maybe it'll be easier if I just give you the nickels. Here.
I don't want.
Now what's the matter?
I should have asked for quarters.
Oh, Peggy.
Peggy, I know what's the matter.
What?
When little boys act that way, they're always hungry. Would you like something to eat, Melvin?
I'd like to something to eat him.
Yeah. What haven't you got? Have you got a nice, thick chocolate cake?
No.
Then that's what I want.
All right, Smarty, I'll bake you one.
Well, that's very sweet of you, dear.
Thank you.
And when you get to the kitchen, be sure to wake up your Uncle Louis. You know, he looks so strange after sleeping on the stove when he wakes up with those marks from the gas burners on his face.
Okay, Daddy. Oh, Daddy.
Hey, yes, dear?
Claudini, the lion tamer, uses a chair in his ass.
Yes, and a gun with blanks, doggone it. Well, Melvin, I guess everything's just going to be all right now, isn't it? Said he, jokingly.
No.
Well, why not?
I hate chocolate cake. I want lemon pie.
Oh, well, don't worry. Peggy's chocolate cakes often taste like lemon pie. excuse me, the telephone. Hello?
What number am I calling?
This is the residence of Mortimer Meek.
Oh, I must have the wrong number.
Dr. Furby.
Huh?
Oh, I'm so glad you called. It's about Melvin.
I wish you'd say it, sir. It sounded as if you said Melvin.
Oh, that's what I did say. M for malicious mischief. E for audacious. That means beauty, Dr. Furby. L for livid, which I am.
Hey, that will do, Meek. We had spelling earlier in the day. How is Melvin?
Oh, he's all right.
You having any fun?
He's having a riot.
Good, good, good. And now, if you'd be so good as to prepare him for travel, I'll be right over.
Oh, you mean Melvin's leaving?
Yes. I made a slight mistake.
A slight mistake.
I absentmindedly delivered the wrong child to your house. Melvin is a problem child. I was supposed to deliver someplace else.
You say a problem child?
Yes, I was studying. Somebody asked me a question. And another. Then I was ready to try for $64. And in my excitement, I delivered Melvin to you instead of to his parents.
You mean his parents want him back?
No, but what can they do? Hmm. All right, I'll be right over. Take good care of Melvin.
Hmm. Well, then that explains what... Oh, my goodness. He's too quiet again. Melvin, I'd like to talk with you. Melvin? Melvin! Oh, my goodness gracious, he's gone.
Hi there, Peggy. How's everything?
Wow, what was that just past me?
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Weigel, that must have been Melvin.
Boy, he went like all sweet on a fresh pan of biscuits.
Oh, that's all sweet.
I thought you said it was Melvin.
Oh, no, you don't understand. I'm making a cake for Melvin, and I forgot to put in the all sweet the way Mother always does.
Well, Peggy, your mother is a very smart woman. She's learned, like thousands of other good cooks, that there's just something about the easy creamability and delicate natural flavor of all sweet margarine that makes it ideal for wonderful mouth-watering cakes. But being extra smart, I'll bet your mother doesn't stop there. Why, I'll wager my autographed football that she'll use all sweet and dozens of ways for all that holiday cooking she'll be doing. For snowy, whipped potatoes. For yams. For a rich, creamy sauce for cauliflower or steamed onions. And certainly she'll have plenty of all sweet on the table for those delicious breads. Oh, say, that reminds me. Who did you say Seabiscuit, Melvin is?
Oh, he's my new problem child, Mr. Weigel.
Your problem child? Brother, I've heard everything now. Look, Peggy, I'm getting out of here. Just tell your mother and father hello for me, will you? I'll be seeing you.
Okay.
Oh, how interesting. Where is this here?
Behind the house.
What? Is that there, still I. And where are you? And needless to ask, who are you?
Perhaps we should lock the door.
Don't sit in this chair, please.
Yes.
I'm under it, Dr. Fermi.
Oh, David, Floyd, and Edra, have you all gone mad? Please tell me. I'll join you.
Oh, no, no. We're not crazy, Dr. Fermi. We're just a little Melvin.
Well, stop it and come out from behind that couch. It's very difficult carrying on a conversation with three overstuffed pillows.
I heard that, Doctor, and I resent it.
Yeah, well, you see, Dr. Fermi, after you and I finished talking, I turned to Melvin, and he was gone.
Yes.
Wasn't that too bad?
I hope you won't blame me, Dr. Fermi. I was just trying to do my lesson on applied child psychology.
I've looked everywhere. I'm weak. I'm going to lay down on the couch and get back my strength.
Now, Dr. Fermi, we did the best we could with Melvin, but he was difficult.
That, Mortimer, is the understatement of the year. Dr. Fermi, did you ever actually take care of an active, vicious, imaginative 7-year-old boy?
Yes, once.
Well, what did you do first?
I asked for police protection.
But then what happened?
The police asked for protection.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that all right.
If you tell me, Doctor, do you really know a lot about this sort of child? Sir, I know this sort of child inside out, which is the way I prefer them.
Mm. Well, no. You see, I mean, have you ever applied child psychology in person?
Oh, I have indeed.
With what results?
None.
Oh.
But I am the successful author of several learned textbooks on children,
yes,
which you may have read.
Uh-huh.
If you read...
Hey, are you trying to insult me?
I never undertake the impossible. Well, what about Melvin? Where is he? His parents are waiting for him at his home with upraised arms, you know.
Dr. Furness, he's disappeared.
Disappeared? Good. Melvin must be produced. Meek, you don't by any chance happen to have a cyclone cellar.
You think I'd be here if I did?
I have it. Why don't we divide into teams? Searching parties.
Yeah, good idea. I'll look in the icebox. I feel kind of faint anyway.
Mortimer, you and I will take you upstairs, and Dr. Fermi and Peggy can start in the basement.
Okay.
And the first one to discover Melvin, yell.
Good. Very well. Let's begin. And remember, if possible, bring him back alive.
Dr. Fermi, don't you think it's a little far-fetched to go around tapping on the baseboards and the floors?
One never knows where Melvin may have concealed himself, the little termite.
Well, he's covered the basement and part of the first floor. All that remains now is the kitchen.
Yes, that's where the elephant team Uncle Louie lumbered in his search.
Let's go in and see what goes on. Hi, Uncle Louie. Did you find anything?
Yeah, some cold beef, four dill pickles, and some chicken bones.
Oh.
Ah, good. Yeah, care to pull a wishbone with the doc?
Delighted.
What's the matter?
One is allowed to use only the very end of the pinkies in holding the wishbone, you know. No fudging.
Okay. Ready?
At your pleasure.
Go, right. my back.
Well. You won. Now, don't bother to pick yourself up off the floor. Just tell us if you saw a trace of Melvin.
Melvin? Who's Melvin? You mean the kid with the teeth.
That's right, Uncle Lee. Has he been here?
Well, to tell you the truth, you see, I got as far as the icebox and I felt a little faint. So I'm building up my strength with a few extra calories.
Oh, Uncle Louie, we've got to find him. Come on.
Oh, wait a minute, Peggy. I just got to fight off another place. Ain't the spell here. Oh, hand me that meatloaf, will you, Doc?
Here you are, Doc Gentleman. Now you feel fit enough to join us as a third?
Oh, what's the use of running around, burning up energy? Sooner or later, Melvin will get hungry. We'll stay here and ambush him.
Hand me that chicken leg, will you, Doc?
Here you are. And now that you have both hands full, would you like me to suspend this bowl of jello from your little nose? Baby time, you know.
Oh, thanks, Doc. Hey, wait a minute. How will I catch Melvin with both hands full?
I don't know, Uncle Louis. I'll bite.
That's where you're wrong. He'll bite. You know, I kind of like that kid. I'd like to send him away for a nice, long vacation to Death Valley.
Oh, come, come, come. Melvin is just a growing boy.
Yeah, growing worse every day.
Oh, no. He's just been misguided.
Misguided? I think he's been on a detour ever since he was born. And boy, would I like to straighten him out.
Judging from your contours, I should say you could only curve him out.
Hey, listen. Sounds like somebody's got Melvin stuck. Come on. Oh, Daddy. It sounds like he's lost in the broom closet.
Oh, my. Your father has a nice sense of rhythm, hasn't he, Peggy?
Oh, Daddy, just a minute. I'll let you out.
Oh, that Melvin, he tricked me into the closet.
Say, what's the matter with you, Morty? Don't you know better than to get yourself locked up in a broom closet? Don't you know it's dangerous?
Oh. Well, thanks for the advice, Louis. Here, give me your hand. Leave him there, sir. We haven't time. Besides, when he comes to, he can always crawl back to the icebox to revive himself. Now that we're all assembled, let us review the facts. Mrs. Meek, while your husband was lost in contemplation in the broom closet, you were sweeping the upstairs, correct?
Oh, that's right, Dr. Furness. I went over everything and every nook and cranny. He isn't there. Are you and Peggy sure he wasn't hiding in the basement?
Positive. If he were, all the mice would be up here.
Melvin isn't down there, I know.
Well, now, just let me think. Where would I hide if I were Melvin? Oh, my gracious, no, I've got to stop thinking. That sounds too horrible. Dr. Furness, you're a child psychologist. Now, what do we do next?
I'm glad you asked that, sir. I posed the same question in my book, The Child and Civilization's Why.
And what was the answer, Doctor?
I never found out. No, we must cease research. We must sit here and wait.
Wait? What for?
For Melvin to appear. Or for the house to go up in a cloud of smoke.
Dr. Furness, 2 hours have gone by and we haven't found Melvin yet.
I know, dear lady, but the house is still intact. Ah, the wonder of it.
Oh, but we have to find him. I still have to study him so I can write out my report.
Well, now, dear, I'll help you with your report. We'll title it The Abnormal Child and How He Makes Adults the Same.
Oh, finally!
Ah, I think Louis has found little Melvin or vice versa.
Just
let me get my hands on that kid.
Oh, Louie, are you hurt?
Sure I'm hurt. What do you think I am, a T-bone steak? That kid ought to wear a muzzle, and I'm just the guy that put one on him.
Now, have patience, tolerance, understanding. One never accomplishes anything with violence, you know.
No, one doesn't, huh?
Of course not. One must be kind, although firm. Chapter 4, page 75, paragraph 3 of my book, I quote, in approaching the maladjusted child, one should have an open mind, an understanding heart, and an outstretched hand.
Oh, hit me!
Yes, never bite the outstretched hand, Melvin.
Melvin, why did you bite Dr. Furness?
He's so daddy. If he opens his mouth, I'll bite him again.
You will not. You'll sit right here and behave yourself. Now tell me, where were you hiding?
I had a swell place. I was inside that big radio.
In the radio? Yes, but that's impossible. It's all full of tubes and things.
Not anymore.
That's it. Father?
Yes, dear?
You and Dr. Furness and I are going to have a conference with Melvin.
A conference?
I refuse to talk with that child. Unless I'm permitted to hold my hands behind my back.
Okay, let's get to the gym. I'm anxious to get back home. This place is too tame. It bores me. Now, you sit still, Melvin, and keep your mouth closed.
Yes, and put your feet inside your mouth.
Okay, okay.
Now then, Father, mm-hmm. when I was a little girl, you used to use psychology on me, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I suppose I did, dear.
When I was bad, you used to get to the seat of the trouble, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
But that's all out of date now, isn't it, Dr. Fermi?
Yes, gone with the woodshed.
Nowadays, we just use psychology, don't we?
Tell me, what are you getting at?
Why, I was just thinking that psychology isn't any good unless you apply it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I'm beginning to understand. If we just had something to apply it with. Uh-huh. Perhaps this textbook? Yes, yes. This brings back memories. Rosie's memories.
Hey, what's it gonna do with that big book?
Well, it's a psychology book, you know.
This will hurt us worse than it'll hurt you. Isn't that what you always used to say, Daddy?
Peggy, you have a remarkable memory. Suppose you deploy it at the last, Dr. Fermi.
Excellent strategy, sir. Come here, Melvin.
No, I don't want to. Hey, let go of me.
Ah, here, Dr. Fermi, your book, sir. And your honor.
Ah, you're too good to me, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And here, Melvin, is something for you.
Oh, just applying psychology, my dear. Peggy reminded me of her you.
Don't be alarmed, dear lady. The lesson seems to have worked. And now I'll take Melvin with me. As for the damage done to your house, I shall reimburse you and charge it to research. I can already see the exciting new chapter for my latest book, The Spoiled Child, The Rod and Taco.
My research and my papers. What about those?
My dear, don't trouble your head about them. You've already done your laboratory work on the subject. I shall give you an excellent story. Oh, yes, and as for the rest of the class, I shall ask you to deliver a lecture to them on the subject.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Fermi.
And to drive home the point, you might demonstrate this new use for textbooks. I think it will inspire them. Well, Melvin, shall we go?
I ain't going. You can't make me. You'll win, Daniel. Hey, that's me.
Now, I don't know whether it's because cranberries are so cheery and red, or because they're more plentiful right about now, but we usually think of them as an accompaniment for the Thanksgiving turkey. And, of course, they do add zip and zing to old Mr. Gobbler. But it's high time you thought of other uses for their delicious tartness. Say, a cranberry coffee cake, split while warm and fragrant, and spread with all-sweet margarine, is one of the nicest ways we know of to say good morning to your favorite family on Thanksgiving Day. And then there are cranberry muffins. Spread them while piping hot with all-sweet, so they get the benefit of its richness and delicate natural flavor. And you'll agree that they're really something for which to be thankful. And, of course, all-sweet will help step up the flavor of your other Thanksgiving dishes. Fluffy, mashed potatoes, green peas, soft with a cauliflower, and of course you won't have plenty on the table as the perfect tasting spread for your hot rolls or biscuits. Yes, ma'am, put all sweet margarine on your shopping list and have yourself a happy Thanksgiving. All sweet. The margarine with the delicate, natural flavor. Starring Forrest Lewis and Burl Vaughn, is written and directed by Les Weinrot. Be sure and join us over these same stations next Saturday when All Sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor, again invites you to Meet the Meat. This is John Weigel speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcast.